What is up, people? This is episode 243, and this is a weird, not a weird, but this is a special two-part episode. One you're going to get today, the next one you're going to get released, and you're going to hear me allude to it on Halloween, and it's more of a companion thing if you decide to watch a scary movie that we watched on this, that you could play our commentary, and you could do the MST3K version of what that's like. And trust me, I'm not saying we're super entertaining, but I'm saying it's the most entertaining way to watch the movie that we watched. So you'll hear us talk about that a little bit, and then, you know, you'll hear us just catch up with Zombie Man Mike Schilling. Actually, Zombie Ma'am, Z-Ma'am. So find him on all of his stuff, like Z-Ma'am Show and Dead Nightmare, of course, and maybe even see us when it comes back around to our turn to be back on it. But anyway, we had fun doing this. This was a three-hour episode, which is always like a marathon with us. We're no Joe Rogan, but it was a good time, and we hope you like it. And we'll see you also within Halloween with more of this. Thanks.
Talking about this now.
We're going to get going here, if you guys are ready.
Ready.
Yep.
And then I'm going to say, we are back, and here's before I jump into what's going on this episode, I want to say one caveat to special Halloween guests, always Halloween guests.
Halloween.
I think this is the fifth or sixth episode straight for Schilling for Halloween. I'm going to say, first, welcome back to the podcast. You can talk. It's okay.
Cool.
Because we haven't really seen you in person since pre-COVID. And two,
wow. Yeah.
And two, you were notorious. You were notorious.
Was it? We did. Did we get together? Yeah, we got together. Yeah.
Oh, we did?
But what did we do? Did we go to the bar?
I have no clue what
one
we did.
One of the more recent ones, it was the three of us, and we went. If it wasn't here, either the year or year before, we were at the bar. We went up to Shamrock's.
Oh, okay.
It was their movie night.
Yeah. They are moving, which is good for us because it's closer to me.
Oh, it is?
Oh, it's right up off of Mid Rivers in Mexico where Cork and Barrel used to be. But the other
or
thing
Hatfield I want... McCoy's if you're more familiar with
the
that.
Other thing sure. I want to sure. do when Mike Schilling is on the podcast, I have the game turned all the way up because you're notorious for just turning and talking away from the mic all the time.
I do. I look at who I'm talking to. Yeah. So wait, look at it this way. See?
So this isn't so bad.
Stop having so much manners and making eye contact.
Yeah, I know.
With
it's like, hey, Missy, when I'm looking at you.
This isn't so bad, though, because where the mic is now, it's right up on you. So anyway, okay. that said, this is a double special episode because not only is it the annual Halloween episode with one Mike Schilling, but it's also a return of sorts of our favorite flop co-host, the First Lady of Podcasting, who has gave up the podcast, but she's doing it for Halloween.
Yeah.
My wife, Missy's back.
Hey!
Just getting a little taste.
So here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to lay it out for everybody what we're going to do. I'm going to release this as two podcasts, essentially.
Oh.
What we're going to do is we're going to sit here and catch up with Mike. We're then going to watch a movie, and we're going to MST3K that movie. For those that don't know, Mystery Science Theater 3000, MST3K. We're going to talk about it as we watch it, which is not the best way to watch a movie, but it'll be fun.
It's fun.
And then we're going to come back and do the wrap-up of that movie. What I'm going to release is the episode without the commentary on the movie, and then on Halloween I'm going to release a special, tell people where they can start. If they want to watch the movie while we talk over the movie, they can do that.
Oh, jeez.
So we're going to do that.
I like it.
So that's how
I
we're
like
going to get down today. So that's what's going to happen. Right now, Melissa and I are drinking an Oktoberfest because I didn't have a spooky beer, but what's spookier than drinking something called October?
But I have to ask what a spooky beer is.
Mm. But run of Hellboy beers had some spookiness to them. The one that turned blue almost killed me, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know why I had. I don't know if it was an allergic reaction to the beer itself, but I did get. I had.
Oh, for real?
His swollen lips. His lip.
And everything.
Oh no!
It was like Will Smith and was it Hitch?
Yeah.
That's what he looked like. His lip blew up.
And Schilling brought a beer with him called La Kiki Puka Puka Laku.
Exactly. Yeah, by Avery Brewing.
Yeah, Avery Brewing Company, and it's got a tiki guy on it, which is. I gotta say, the most perfectly themed time of year for a beer that looks like a summer beer.
Now, do you just say that name three times? Yeah, fast.
It's Yeah, there you go.
I used to call it Hikahakuganakamu.
That's it too. Now, Schilling,
and there's no H, by the way.
Every year, we start with the exact same question.
Okay,
when's next episode coming out?
Okay, I've been a lazy son of a gun. this last COVID. I mean, it did something to me. But I have two...
There's a depression that sets in.
It really is. And I have two full, almost full scripts ready to go. One was for the Shamrocks deal that we wanted to do literally like 2.5 years ago, but everything just kept pushing it off, pushing off. Now I'm kind of wondering, now that they're moving, maybe I can just jump in there before they're fully out, and since they're kind of moving stuff anyways.
I don't think he would mind, considering Kyle's exact words. I wouldn't care if this place burned down or not.
That's what you say.
I mean, you know, maybe it was said, maybe it wasn't. But and then there's this short one that I want to do, and actually we're almost ready, and I think I want to start filming next month. And it's a little side story about Adam and Brett, the brothers, and what happened to them the night everything went down.
Oh, cool.
You know, I was thinking about this, too, and I wonder, you know, in terms of... So what we're going to watch today is a movie called Bad Candy, and I picked this movie because the trailer reminded me, very reminiscent, if I were to put together a top 10 list of all-time favorite Halloween movies, of a movie we've talked about on here before, Trick or Treat, which was a great anthologies movie.
Agreed.
That's why I picked out Bad Candy, because I thought, hey, well, it looked sort of like that, so let's watch that. But I was thinking about that this week as we were getting ready for the episode with you. Excuse me. Have you ever thought about doing more of an anthology-style zombie? That way you don't have to keep a through line and you can...
Anthology would be nice, because then I could just do a bunch of different stories. And I find it's easier to come up with just simple shorts instead
That's what I was thinking.
So no doubt, Dead Niber will not be continuing on forever. I hope to finish it up probably in the next... three-ish episodes, 3 to 4 maybe.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to get you guys back in one last time, scheduling. I'll tell you what, honestly, what depresses me the most when I do this, it's not really depressing, but I'm just going to use that word, it's the scheduling. It's me. As soon as I start thinking about Jeremy and his crazy
life. Obstacle?
It is the biggest obstacle. Absolutely. And then next is locations, because...
Well, you're not... You know, to put it simply, everyone does this on a volunteer basis. You're not paying anybody. If you were, if it was a paid job, people's schedules would open up.
Yes, they would.
But
I'd be like, hey, you got a couple grand coming your way. Really? Let's do it.
We work for scale, $500.
Oh, see? There we go. There we go. But no, ideas, yes. I have some other shorts that I definitely want to get to. I've been being lazy, but I'm starting to finally feel, now that I'm active back again in my new job, I was telling you about prior to the podcast.
Well, I think we can finally say this, too. You knew the other hosts of this show, Bender and Tom, from your guys' all previous place of employment, Purina. We used to call it Dogchild Industries. I think people read between the lines. But so you've left there and went to another job. We won't say what that is,
sure,
per se, because you know, we curse and talk about...
Just call it money in the bank.
It's good money in Mikey's pocket. And so,
I just meant like job the company
security.
Itself.
It's got everything you need in the post our current pandemic world. It's good pay and it's job security, and that's all people need to know. But so you're settled into that. It's not quite a year at that job yet.
No, not even barely 3 months. But I do feel like I'm moving, and now I feel like we're getting back to normal. And
kind of shot in the arm you needed to get back to. You said it all ago. I really ramped up during the pandemic and did an episode, sometimes 2 a week. I was like kicking them out.
That's awesome.
Because we had nothing else to do. But then I got burned out. And then I started writing and drawing a lot.
So that.
And then around the time that really felt like it was getting going, then work got busy again.
Yep.
And then, like, there was a, like you said, there's a little bit of, even though creativity helped get through the pandemic, a little bit of a creativity lull that happened. It was like, oh, it's too much. Because we thought it was going to be like 6 weeks. And then it turned out to be a year and a half. We're still going.
We're going and almost creeping into 2 years.
And that kind of way has a way of knocking your feet out from under you.
Yeah, and it's like it's not getting terribly better. I mean, there's still talk about this and that. Anyways, not to get into politics and so forth, but it did put a stigma, I think, in all of us. So hopefully we're kind of getting back to a little bit what we want to do. And everybody's not so like, oh, God, can't go outside. You know, it's a little bit more like we can at least get out and feel like we can be around each other and not worry about everything.
What sucks, too, in terms of... your show is, and for those that don't remember, Dead Nightmare, you mentioned it well ago, it's YouTube, you can go to Dead, you can look it up. It would have been the perfect time to film a lot of great episodes with no one on the street. No one would have even bothered you filming while you were filming. It was how we taught our daughter how to drive through the pandemic.
Oh, really?
But let's be real. Let's say, hypothetically, you were out in the world as it was, no one was out there, but you and your posse were filming and you had zombies. That could have set off a whole whirlwind of COVID, and zombies are now a thing. Like, if you get COVID, you turn into a zombie. That would have actually been kind of comical.
Yeah. But there was a lot of talk, and I was even thinking about doing some kind of, not COVID per se, but some kind of mix of something that started spreading and then obviously turned into, you know, the worst. And there were even other, there were sites and so forth, you know, that stick around film and whatnot. They were doing a bunch of shorts, like COVID shorts, they called them. But basically, do them from your home.
Right.
Don't go out. And I wanted to do some of them, but again, it just kind of put this weird, just kind of haze over me. I'm just kind of like, eh, I'll get to it. And then I said that for like a year and a half.
Yeah. Well. So,
and counting.
Yeah, I think it happened to a lot of people. So
it did.
It would have been. You could have had a. Really one of my favorite 80s movies, if you remember them, Night of the Comet. You could have done a great
man, I love
Night
that
of
one.
The Comet. Yeah.
That's a great one.
That was a great movie. So you're going to start back up.
Yeah, so I'm not going to say that we stopped, but I'm definitely going to start dedicating more time.
Yeah.
Enough of the gaming, enough of the painting. I did paint a pretty kick-ass Star Wars Legion set, Stormtroopers and Rebels. I'm just saying.
Oh, you're doing miniature painting, miniatures.
I do, miniatures, okay. Yeah. That's maybe dorky, but hey, I did it when I was 15. No,
you're talking to a lifelong D&D player.
So yeah.
I've never, for all the art school and hobbies that I have in life, I've never got into miniature painting, and I think it's because of lack of patience.
You need patience, but you know, I usually toss something in the background or music, and sometimes I have tutorials going on just to help me with some of the skills and whatever, and it helps me there, and they turned out really nice, so it's nice, it's kind of relaxing for me.
So I'm going to play dumb, because this isn't playing, this is actually me being dumb. What are you saying?
So it's not dumb. You're like, naive to the level of geekery that we are.
So I figure like a board game, if you will. Except they're like just these little miniature characters that are, and I don't know the millimeter, but it's about
miniatures is
what, inch and a half tall, maybe?
Yeah, I believe they're 1/16 scale is what a miniature is.
That sounds about right. Yeah. And so there's a Star Wars game on called Star Wars Legion, and they have all kinds of characters. They have the Stormtroopers, they have a Rebel Troopers, Darth, name the characters they have them, and you can paint them up.
Yeah, so Missy, any TV show or movie that we've watched that has D&D, like Stranger Things, and you see them play with little miniatures on the board.
Those are hand-painted.
Those always come die-cast, and you got to prime them and paint them to whatever
you
want.
Do you have to wear, like, magnifying goggles?
Actually, I do have some that I wear, because I just got tired of having to just, like, you know, stare at it, because the detail's insane.
And a lot of people will get the big magnifying glass that's got the light around it and to hold them in front of.
Yep.
It is a time-consuming process, yes, but there are some amazing miniature painters
out there. I just don't think you have the patience.
Oh, no, Jeremy. No,
and,
no. My
and
problem
while
with
you
my
do
own
like art.
Art,
while you do like art, you don't have a steady hand all the time.
And my hand is also not the studies, but I found ways to, you know, you work with what you
My problem, even in my own drawings, is I like to go from concept to finished product without the steps in between, and I mess it up and I have to dial it back. That's been the biggest problem for me. Is
it's a lot.
I know what I'm capable of in a finished product,
yes,
but I'm not willing to give myself the time to get to
well
that.
And you have that's a problem. Me, I like a lot of different things, you know, like I like to dabble in stuff. There, I even wanted to get into sculpting for like prosthetics pieces, so I didn't have my own line.
Yeah.
And I actually bought some of the stuff. The shit's been sitting downstairs in my basement for literally the last year and a half. I think the clay's almost dried out.
Well, speaking of things you like to do, which is why we're here today, is the scary movie stuff. Have you been caught up on the movies that made us, the new season?
No, totally.
It's got Friday the 13th, it's got Halloween, and it's got Nightmare on Elm Street. Which is awesome. And in the Friday the 13th,
I think there's another one too.
Well, there was, but those are the three.
RoboCop,
which I love, because that's Peter Verhoeven. And we talked about RoboCop your last time on here.
Sure, RoboCop's amazing. Yeah, I don't know about the newer one, it was all right. But,
Ed Neumeier, who wrote that, which he along with Verhoeven, also wrote.
They did Starship
Troopers.
Basic Instinct, Verhoeven also did that one. I believe. Yeah, actually, I know he did. He actually directed. I don't know if he wrote. But
he's an insane director. Yes. But anyway, so the newest one, though, but you would love it because, you know, they dive into the special effects on you know, like RoboCop. That. And then, what is it? Savini.
Mm-hmm.
He's
Tom.
Tom Savini's featured prominently on the Friday the 13th one, which was awesome.
I like it.
And I'll tell you this: if you've there's a streaming app that we downloaded because it's completely free called Tubi. I didn't know about it.
I've heard of it. Pop up. Haven't used it.
100% free. Mm-hmm. You just have commercials.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you this: as someone who is just since he was 10 years old, literally 10 years old, has idolized the movie Monster Squad.
Oh, wow.
They have the documentary Wolfman's Got Nards. It's the only way to watch it on there.
Cool.
And it's well worth watching.
I'll have to check it out. Tubi.
You go. You'll love it.
That's with an I, by the way.
Yeah, yes. Tubi. So before we start this movie, let's ask because Halloween's a scary movie every day for us. What's it been like for you?
So, interesting enough, this year, very odd, but I started off with Pet Sematary.
The original?
I watched the original. Okay, yeah. I watched number two, which I know. It's but it's part of it. And then I watched the new one. Now, I've seen them all three, but you got to understand, when it comes to the October month for me, I'm rewatching a lot of movies.
Yeah.
It's like, it's my time to
reminisce
back to. So I watched Friday the 13th the other day, the original. Mm-hmm. My wife and I were hit up Halloween 1 and 2. That was a very fun night, so we did that. And I'm just kind of going through them, you know. I mean, and there's newer age ones, but guys, you know what? I must really either be getting old or something, because I'm having this lack of wanting to watch new stuff. I'm like, I don't mind just putting on something I've seen before, which sounds kind of really stupid and boring, but that's what I've been doing like this last year.
So
it's really
weird. We've been watching a lot of new stuff, but I'm finding where I'm like, this isn't feeling the same.
Well, right.
The so I really
stuff.
Want
right.
to, I'm like, so he did a podcast the other night and I just went upstairs and watched Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and well, it felt familiar. It felt
good.
Yeah, it felt
also
good.
Also, not just hurt one of her favorite Halloween movies, it's one of her favorite movies.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. That's on that one.
Yeah. But I'll tell you this. We did watch, I mean, some of the welcome surprises, we did watch Sinister.
Okay, yeah.
That's a pretty good movie.
No, we're talking Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that movie...
It's creepy as fuck.
It's creepy as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not hip. We did through coming out of the pandemic. My daughter did want to watch the entire Conjuring universe.
Ah.
And there's like 9 of those fucking movies, and we watched them all.
A lot.
Did you watch The Devil?
Yes.
I got to watch that one. Was it worth it?
If you like the other ones, you'll like it.
Okay, good.
That's the new one.
That's
right?
The new one.
Okay,
yeah.
So for me... Well, first of all, it didn't feel like it was part of the universe.
Oh, it
didn't
felt a little off, huh?
It didn't even have the same...
The husband and wife.
Well, yeah, right? It didn't have that, but it didn't have the same...
No. Remember, we watched... There's another one that came after that is on Netflix, and it's...
That's the one I'm talking about. There's no husband and wife.
Oh, with James Wan?
James Wan.
Yeah.
Directed all, or produced and all. So he says it's in the universe, but it's newer.
Oh.
It's not. It doesn't have anything connection.
There's no connection.
That was a crazy fucking movie.
Yeah.
I forgot.
No, but this isn't The Devil Made Me Do It. This is another one.
No.
The Devil Made Me Do It is the one he's talking, and we did watch it. That was the HBO Max.
And I did enjoy that one.
I mean, if you like them all.
Yeah.
No, the other James Wan movie we watched, though, was...
I'll have to get the name of that one.
Recently, and it's... I'll have to look it up.
Okay.
It's the one where I don't want to ruin it, but the killer is a monster surprise.
Ah,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's a different change.
Oh, dude, it's insane. It is the last third of that movie. The final act is flat ridiculous. But
nothing wrong with monsters, that's for sure.
So how about Midnight Mass? Have you watched that yet?
Not that one. No.
Oh, dude.
That sounds familiar, though.
It's a series on Netflix.
Okay.
It's a 4 or 6 episode, something like that.
Midnight Mass.
I'm not going to tell you what I mean, you'll see what it is pretty quick.
Yes.
But it's the most original take on this type of genre I've seen since.
Cool.
This is a spoiler. Near Dark.
Okay.
I think it's awesome.
All right.
I'll give it a go.
It was very interesting.
I did watch Squid Games.
Oh, Squid Games was hilariously awesome.
I mean, it was, and I don't usually do subtitle ones. It's not that they lose me, but it's going to have to be really good if I'm going to stick with.
Well, you
really have to dedicate yourself to focus, because you have to read and you have to look at the screen.
You don't have to watch the subtitles either. Dubbed on Netflix. So, did you watch it?
I actually got the original version with the actual, which I heard was a much better experience actually than the dub. Now that's what I heard.
Well, Netflix,
I don't know.
Apparently they changed some big on it.
Oh,
they took out a scene of some sort.
That's what I heard.
I'm going to say something right now that will be offensive to an entire nation, but then I'm going to preface it with the fact that I have fallen in love with everything Korean on Netflix.
Yeah.
But they're nutty as a fruitcake.
Yeah.
So some of the themes don't work here. But I'll tell you, if you liked Squid Game, watch Alice in Borderland. It's fucking great.
Okay.
And it's... You want me to tell you what the premise is?
Yeah, go ahead.
The exact same thing as Squid Game.
Really?
But it came out before and didn't get as famous.
It just didn't get the hit.
It's a little more science fiction-y.
Okay.
Because, like, if they mess up the game, a laser comes from the sky and just shoots them down through the head.
Hey, that's fun, too.
Dude, it's good.
Okay.
It's very good. And then there's I can't remember the name of it, but there's a horror series from Korea that's on Netflix also, where this building gets encapsulated by this... For the lack of a better word, aura of monsters, and it turns people into monsters in it.
Oh,
and the whole point of the thing is people are trying to survive it, and the military is trying to contain it and not let people out.
How was
of
the
it.
Makeup and effects in Silver for the Monster?
Unbelievably good.
Okay, dude, I got to tell. Okay, before I leave here, I'm and getting a list.
When I say the makeup and effects, that's all the movie is makeup and effects on the series.
But if they did it right, it sounds good. Like amazing premise.
Because the Koreans got that part down that pat, too.
Yeah. Well, they're, you know what? And they may be the next powerhouse coming up with these horror and sci-fi films, which, by the way, right up my alley. So, hey.
Yeah. I've even watched, like, there's a serious gangster movie that's mm-hmm. a Korean movie, too, and I've loved everything they've done.
The first one I think I started with, Korea style, and I don't think I'm misspeaking here, is Train to Busan.
Oh, yeah. Busan, yeah. And then part two. Yeah.
Which two was, and I haven't actually fully finished. I accidentally stopped mid and fell asleep or whatever, but I was just tired as hell. But I wasn't getting quite the same feel. It felt like it went a little more like Hollywood style, if you will, just trying to, let's like throw whatever we can in there. Let's just make this thing freaking crazy. I felt the one just felt nice and balanced. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the problem with a lot of movies these days. It's always like, gotta go bigger. Sometimes it's the simplistic things.
Yes.
Like we're Halloween, like we're talking right. about. The speed. You don't gotta give me everything at literally 100 miles an hour. Slow the hell down. Yeah.
Well, and I've watched so many documentaries on the original Halloween. I mean, it seems like anytime somebody does something scary movie related, they have to bring up Halloween. Mm-hmm. But the movies that made us always does a good job. And that the entire cast and crew talk about how good John Carpenter was at what he did on a no budget. And
yeah.
And I don't know if you're aware of this, but we found it out from the movies that made us. What you know what the big innovation that he brought to the table in that movie was?
Go ahead.
He's the first major film to use the Steadicam.
I did read that in the
$300,000 budget. He spent $70,000 on the Steadicam.
Wow!
Because he saw it in a advertising thing,
and you can see it. Oh, apologies.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say you can see it in the scenes, especially with the three girls when they're walking down the street, or whatever, and they're just going down, and you can see it's a nice steady mm-hmm. shot. And I think for that day and age, it's been unheard of.
I think that camera only allows 4 minute shots. Is that
the camera? Okay. It was.
So they used it in the opening shot, right? Or the opening sequence with the boy. And I'm just going to tell it. It's not really a huge spoiler, but I thought
it's a documentary.
Yeah. I was like, this is freaking amazing. So they couldn't get that whole shot in 4 minutes. So they had to figure out how they were going to stop it, and that way they could splice it. So when the boy reaches down and puts the mask on,
you can almost see
that is where
the transition.
And I was like, that is brilliant of them.
Also, they talked about the use of pumpkins in the movie.
Okay,
there's only three pumpkins in the whole movie.
I know the one Tommy did, and I think there's one on one of the doorsteps.
And
whatever.
So because they only had three pumpkins, they had to do that in one take, and they got it. Thankfully,
they got them.
Yeah. Well, there's like a pumpkin shortage.
Yeah, there was a pumpkin shortage.
So
there is one right now, apparently.
Really.
Yeah.
Well, we got ours, so.
Yeah. A severe lack of them at grocery stores.
Grocery stores. I think Home Depot and stuff happens, so check those places out. Yeah. But another thing, too, the leaves you see, they actually had to get those in and place them.
Oh, they didn't say anything about that, but that's interesting, because was it summer?
It was not the fall.
Yeah.
Look at the trees.
Yeah,
they're green.
Yeah. They're green, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. man, fun stuff. And those are the fun stories I always, so that's why I've been doing some on my channel. On the side note, guys, I've been doing some trivia videos. And for those geniuses who have figured out the mechanic, yes, I am going to IMDb, and I'm taking a lot of those, but I'm actually sorting through all the crap, mm-hmm. the ones that aren't interesting, and I'm putting visuals so you can remember back to that scene.
So you talked about that, and I'm going to be a bit naive here, or a bit ignorant here, because I was going to give you a hard time. I don't know that I've seen your feed pop up.
And that's weird, too, because YouTube is, I've been feeling like my channel has slowly been kind of like just being like, pushed to the side, mm-hmm. and they do this apparently with some channels.
I haven't seen it, and I apologize if I haven't seen you share it either, because I would always reshare it. But even in my Facebook feed, I've not seen it. Which
now
is disappointing.
I will say I've been lazy putting them on Facebook like I should. So
like sharing that it's out.
So I need to do that more. But because depending unfortunately on the subscribers, unless you just have like millions, which I don't. I have like what eight.
I don't have a lot either.
I just broke 8,000. Which hey, woo.
I'm sorry. I don't have a lot of things I subscribe to, so it should give me a notification. I have your notification turned on,
yeah,
but that doesn't always work.
Yeah, because I still do the Walking Dead ones and whatever, because I'm keeping up with that. We just finished what, the mid-season for season 11?
The final season, yeah.
And World Beyond, we're kind of seeing where that's going, even though it's a piece of horse trash.
It seems like we always do a Walking Dead catch-up. Let's not dive too deep, because I want to start the movie.
That's fine.
But are you happy with the season finale, or the series?
For TWD, for season 11, I'm enjoying it, but I really want to see how they're going to, because now we have like one time of full season, because this was a season and a half for season 11. I want to see, how are you going to pull on this big, like, this is the end, you know, because...
That's a lot of work to do.
There's not a lot of dangling plot threads, but there's a lot of... People are spread out enough to where it's... You're going to have to work to get it back.
Yeah, but they just introduced new characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Reapers, although kind of cool and interesting, look at what happened to, you know what, I won't say it.
I have a problem with the Reapers.
Yeah, yeah.
The first time we saw them, they attacked.
Yeah.
And they stood no chance against them.
I know.
Like, they were almost physically imposing, and then... They can take them out like nothing.
I know. It's like you feel like they should. I feel like by now, I thought Gabriel was going to go.
Did too.
I thought they got to kill Gabriel. It's the right time. It just felt. And we didn't even see where zealot.
The priest.
Yeah. Where did he go?
Yeah.
We didn't even see him that episode.
Because Gabriel had his chance to smoke him and he didn't.
Right.
The other shows, are they still.
World Beyond, the first season was a rough ride, okay? Because you had these just inept. You know, teenagers, and it's just like, it's watching like kids stumbling over rocks. It was just so bad. And then now we're supposed to believe that they're hardened, which some of them, sure, maybe others, like unfortunately, it's like the lead characters, you just don't buy it.
Yeah.
But I will say, they're getting into some interesting things now with the Commonwealth, which is that about 50 to 75,000 colonies strong or whatever.
Okay.
And they're doing some pretty sinister things, and I think they're doing tests on actual human type subjects trying to find this cure.
Oh my God.
They haven't fully gotten into it yet, but all I know is one of the last scenes in the last episodes, this woman who's part of the science crew or whatever, she's in this room, she's looking into through the view glass, and there are zombies on the other side, but they are extremely clean. They're not bloodied up, they're not dirty and stuff. So I'm thinking they're taking human subjects and messing with them.
Almost
to see.
Like they used chemical, like our medicine to kill them and see what happened.
They were way too clean. And they only show one front and center, but in the background, you could see them lined up going side to side from left to right. And I'm like, so I'm interested in that part. As for Iris, the lead actor, unfortunately, she's just not very strong. And it's, I don't know why they chose her, to be honest. It's not good. But anyways, that aside, Fear the Walking Dead actually starts tonight.
Yeah.
And last season was amazing. And where it left off was a nuclear fallout. This crazy dude named Teddy has a small crew of people that he wants to take into the new world he wants to create, and he wants to set off a nuclear bomb. Well, he luckily had a guy who survived who knew the codes and this and that. Again, maybe a little too much like coincidence, but it does go off.
One plot that scientists always say that they forget in every zombie movie is that pretty much inside a year we'd have nuclear fallout in the world because no one's there to man the nuclear power plant.
Yeah.
And unchecked,
yeah, so the plants, if anything, right?
Yeah.
Forget the missiles. Yeah. Anyways, so am I happy with the overall? Yes. And I'd like to continue down.
It's time for it to come to an end.
Probably.
And then they're going to do the whole universe?
Well, just at least the main one. And then they're going to do an anthology spinoff series, which will be just one-off stories, kind of like American Horror Stories did this past year.
And they've already called out Carol and Daryl. Sorry, guys, if you didn't know that. But they already, I mean, their season's, it's happening.
Yeah.
But that also makes it suck so bad because any dangerous situation they're in, I'm not worried about
it.
Right. Exactly.
And I know I'm maybe even in the minority here. I don't know, but I certainly feel like this fan service that they do it puts me in a minority. But I can't stand Carol's character. I haven't liked it in a long time.
Yeah.
I haven't liked it when she was the Batman of the group. And now I don't like it when she's the. Going through whatever issues.
I just don't like her hair.
Her job, her character, I don't think the arc of her character has been quite as interesting as they do. But, that said, Daryl has had no arc, and I love him.
Right.
And I think she's not even alive in the book still, so it's like they're almost grasping at straw. But Daryl wasn't in the book
never
at all, right?
Go figure. Well, I have to agree. She's not one of my favorite characters. I tolerate her because she's part of the crew. She's been with us so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of like, well, let's see. But really, is there much more arc to be had? I mean, she's had such a... I think in some way she should have just taken herself out as a noble, you know, sacrifice to save either Connie.
I expected that 3 or 4 different times.
Yeah.
And they never did it. Anyways.
Well,
she's given someone some head. No, I'm just kidding.
We're going to go ahead and hit play on the movie Bad Candy. And after you hear this, or after I say this, Were you, when we come back, we're going to wrap up this movie, Bad Candy, and we'll talk about it a little bit. So you can, you're going to expect that to pause now. So as you, as you're listening to this now, we've brought it back. We just watched the movie Bad Candy. It said 2021's Bad Candy, but I believe I read that this was actually made and was supposed to be released last year, but obviously didn't happen.
Yeah.
I guess COVID saved us from bad movies. Far as bad movies go, I mean, there's worse movies than that.
Absolutely.
It's, certainly was no Trick or Treat, but overall, what was it you liked about it?
What I liked was this kind of setting, because honestly, there's no way you can enjoy this movie probably watching it by yourself. So making fun of it along the way actually helped it so much better to get through.
Maybe that's what we do. I mean, so here was my reasoning for having this style of episode. We've literally done every kind of top list that we could do in a horror movie. We've done all the things.
Yes.
I thought it was a fun take on what we could do for a Halloween episode.
It was fun.
I'll say this, though. I think if you're going to take something away from the movie, the two most, we'll call them interesting stories or memorable stories.
Sure.
I think the best one was the bathroom one.
I like that one.
And that was actually a quote-unquote scary story. And yeah. Then, I'm not trying to be funny, but the most memorable one was raping the dead body.
Yeah.
So that was your two biggest stories of it.
I have to almost agree. I mean, the other ones were just in, like, the end.
The end one was a bad letdown.
It just didn't quite sell. And I know they're trying to bring it all full force, but, like, when over two-thirds of your movie was, like, kind of fast action, kind of fast-paced events, not all of them, but a lot of it was.
Very shorter. That one was, like, double the length of
the story. Double the length and just kind of drawn out.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, if you close stronger, it might have salvaged the movie as a whole.
This is true.
But
maybe tie it together a little bit better. I mean, the one guy died.
Didn't have anything to do with it. No. Maybe the whole cold open.
What was the whole point of even getting them all? It's just like, it's really just the girl.
Yeah, just the one kid, and she killed her dad right out of the gate in the cold open.
With the amazing, suck the blood out of your face.
Yeah, probably.
It would have been nice to see them, like, their story intertwine a little bit, like, in sequences throughout the movie.
Like, each kid should have been a different story or something.
Or,
because we saw the kid with killer dad, who was a murderer, so he had it coming.
Right.
We saw the one kid's mom get... American MAGA guy.
Yes.
And then we didn't see any other kid be related to it at all. And we didn't even see, we should have seen Douchey McDoucherson kid, not the bully.
Oh, yeah.
The worst bully.
Who was he tied to?
Yeah, he was half the size of even the girls.
They were like, watch out for bullies. Speaking of
and
bullies.
And all five of them were like, get off our turf.
Here comes the one bully in town who's all of 3 feet tall.
And by himself.
And 4 years younger than all of us.
He didn't even have one or two lackeys.
No.
With
I mean, at least a couple, right?
Yeah. Throw a rock and hit him in the head and you're good.
Like, he's like the little short one and the other two are the big kids. Like, we protect our little guy.
They also acted like it was a turf war. Stay off of our territory.
Yeah.
It's the gang. His gang's literally one guy.
Yeah.
And I think that clubhouse was behind an actual house, so it's like more like your property than an actual turf.
I don't think... I got a feeling, and I mean, because I guess I think this way sometimes when I draw or create things, or one of the things... You always come at it from a perspective like, this is what I want it to be known for. I got a feeling that the people that made this thought, well, we're going to come up with some stories. They're going to be fun. They're going to be spooky.
Yeah.
And we're going to get an iconic character in Bad Candy, which apparently we don't know until the very end of the movie was the name of the demon zombie thing or clown thing walking around.
Just due to the credits at that.
Yeah.
I got bad news for you. I don't want to shit all over the movie that Corey Taylor opted to make his big screen debut in. But Bad Candy's not going to catch on.
No.
It could.
The stories were too chaotic. It just...
Well, maybe we'll spread the love.
Well.
The stories were chaotic, but I think the camera work was way more chaotic at times, where I'm like, holy shit. Like, that opening sequence, I was like, what? There's like a girl, a guy driving, a guy walking, and it was
amateur in the beginning. I do feel,
and you made the comment, or maybe it was you, Missy, that the frenetic cut scenes and the murder thing, and I get what they were going for, because that's kind of a way to do gore without showing, not necessarily without showing,
right,
without spending a lot of money
on
everything, but it just didn't work. That and we're talking about the, I mean, I guess maybe my most enjoyable part of it was that group of guys, because we expected poor man's Oscar Isaac to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
But it turns out him and his former pro wrestling buddy were the goodest of good guys.
Yeah.
They were abducting bad people,
and then Lenny eat them.
Yeah, they're demonic. Well, they were also spearing apocalyptic style. Let's break it down. That was a poor man's Oscar Isaac.
Yes.
If you watch this movie, you'll know what we're talking about. It was former pro wrestling buddy. It was millionaire buddy.
Yeah, millionaire
who
guy.
Who buys cheap beer.
Cheap beer. Cheap
bastard.
And their
fourth friend of their group.
Lenny.
Lenny,
a black man who gets a stomach ache and turns into a zombie, or a demon.
A demon.
With wings,
vampire,
a devil, a gargoyle, and flies around and eats people.
Yeah.
That's about the gist of it.
No background needed.
At this point.
Because you're just going to ruin any background. We do know that they were all four in the military, so whatever happened to Lenny had to be something overseas in Iraq, because they talked about Iraq or Afghanistan, wherever they said.
Yeah, so if you even listened to part of our commentary through, I mean, we weren't just forced. I mean, that was just nice, and it was easy to make fun of this movie.
Yeah, it's very organic.
When you were using the bathroom, Schilling said, I can enjoy a movie in this setting.
Yes.
Yeah.
I said, maybe this is our new Halloween tradition.
Yeah, I'm down, but you're right, though. I mean, it didn't have that kind of flow, like Trick or Treat, or even some other anthology stories where they're trying to tie everything back together. They were too, it's just too chaotic. You're like, you're piecing only certain ones together, and then by the end, even when Gremlins guy gets it, what's his name again?
Billy.
Yeah.
Zach Galligan.
When he gets
it. That wasn't
it,
Billy, though. The DJ was Billy.
Not Chili Billy.
Yeah, not Chili Billy. We're Gremlins Billy. Okay. Gremlins,
yeah.
Hard to, you know, coincidence. There's too many, a lot of Billys in this movie.
Do you think maybe they were playing off of that? Who knows these things? But the fact that this other buddy got out and then he got killed, and it's
funny,
like,
you mentioned anthology. We've mentioned a lot because that's what this was. But do you remember, what was the name of it? The movie where the girl marries the guy, he meets her on a, what was the name of it? Was this Tales from the Dark Side movie?
Okay.
Or it was maybe. It wasn't Creepshow, but anyway, she's played by an actress that was pretty famous, very pretty black woman back in the day.
Are you talking about the gargoyle one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where she turns into
absolutely.
The gargoyle. She says, all you have
Tales.
To do is never mention
and she,
this again, and when he does, she turns into the gargoyle and
the kids.
Which was pretty cool.
And I think she ends up killing him,
right? What movie was that? Was it Tales from the Crypt?
No, not Tales from the Crypt. It was Tales from the Dark Side or that.
That was a TV series. That didn't make
Well, there
it
was a movie one.
Was it?
Yeah. And it was the movie version. It wasn't just the show. I've seen that one a couple times at least, actually.
That was an awesome one. That was
I like
the most
that one.
Memorable one from that movie. But that's what.
Wasn't that the set one where the cat is.
The cat's eyes.
Remember the old guy hires the killer to come in to kill the hitman to kill the cat, and the cat. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
No,
that's a Stephen King.
But it was part of some of those stories that they threw together.
With the cat ended up saving the kid in the very last story from the little gremlin.
Oh, interesting.
So I have a couple of questions.
Go ahead. Yeah, anyways, yeah.
So one, and I don't know if this has anything to do with what we watched, but. What's the difference between a B movie and a C movie?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
I think a B movie, the definition of a B movie is low budget. That's why it's called a B movie.
Mm.
But I think to go even further, I think a C movie, and we're just making this up here on the fly, would be like I would call it a cheap movie that has no redeemable quality. Because when I think of a B movie, there's always something that's. Because we watch a lot of scary movies that are B movies. Like,
a lot, yeah.
What's that one that you've even watched it twice?
Oh, The Terrifier.
The Terrifier.
Love that.
That's
I
a
love
B
that
movie,
movie,
but you enjoyed that movie.
I love it.
Sure.
This, I think, under the context of which we watched it, was a B movie. But if you just were to watch it by yourself, you'd have been disappointed.
Yeah.
Would you actually call this a B movie? Or you said there was no redeeming qualities. And the way you guys are talking, I would feel like your description and your the content you're describing this as, you would say this is a C movie.
Honestly, I think it's the B movie because you could tell they paid for all of the pieces to it. And by the way, when you see the credits roll and you see all the names, I mean, they went through all the motions for it to make it a C would kind of be like mine, to be honest, because it's you could tell they don't have all the people that they need in place to do all the different parts. It's just they're just kind of throwing something together. But this one had all the elements of a B movie, but terrible writing, honestly, in the end.
So that's leading to kind of like my next question is, how would you rate this? Now, do you rate B movies and big budget movies the same?
I keep them all on the same scale for me.
Okay. So you don't like say, okay, out of these top movies, I'll give them this rating, and then you have your B movies. So this is pretty low.
It's low, and I like, so IMDb I like, because I feel it keeps the scale overall pretty good. Rotten Tomatoes, they're all over the place, yeah. And then they get paid for ones, and I just don't agree with it. But either way, but you know, they had a 3.8. And then what I find on IMDb, and it just says pretty across the board, if it has at least a 5, it's decently B-movie watchable. Like, okay. I mean, even if it was a big production, it's only got a 5. You can probably get through it and not be like, that was just, you won't say that's awful. You just say, it had some problems, but it was watchable. You know? It was entertaining. When it gets into the 4s, you can automatically, if you start watching it, you will see the roughness around the edges.
So let's take an older movie.
Okay.
Like The Hills Have Eyes.
Okay. Like the original? Oh, okay.
I don't know what...
Well, those are all scary movies from back in the 60s, 70s,
was that a
80s.
B-movie?
Those were low-budget movies.
They were low, yeah.
And what is... Can you look this up? I don't have my phone. What was their rating?
I'm going to have Jeremy look that, because I just can't seem to get internet over here very well.
So the original, 1977, that is a 6.3 on IMDb. No shit.
Okay, can you look up Last House on the Left, the original?
The original.
Because... that one is fucked
it's
up on many levels.
Yes,
I made
it
you
is.
Watch that and I fell asleep.
Yeah.
That's a 6
like,
out of it.
And you see what those are, not only are they B-movies and also early for their time and bring what they're bringing to the screen, but they have like cult followings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And what's crazy is I think those two movies in particular, I don't think they can be made today especially because of the Me Too movement,
yes.
And all of that. You just can't.
It's changed a lot.
It has.
Think of movies like Trading Places and they did Coming to America too, but it was awful. But the point is, no, movies that they did back then, they can't do it again.
Well, they even talked about that in Wolfman Has Nards. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you could not have done or that they did in that movie that you can't do today with, like, there was... slut shaming. There was weight shaming.
Yeah,
and so
They get hit hard immediately.
Yeah,
they would be. There'd be no. What do you call it? The gloves would be taken off.
Yeah, and let's be real. That stuff still happens in the world.
Yeah.
It's just now they want to like. I feel like slut shaming and like weight shaming, body shaming. I should say.
Yeah, that's fine.
And it's like. We shouldn't say it, but it's happening in the world. So it's like we're sweeping it under the rug.
This is under the rug. And nobody wants to call out these people for and everything from the transphobic and this and that. Mm-hmm. You're talking about, and I saw a comment the other day when I was reading, it says it's like 0.5% of our population is trying to dictate how the other 99.5% live. And it is what it is, guys. I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, and we all have our, you know, you got family members, you have things that speak to you in certain ways.
Yeah.
And that's what makes us all unique and whatever. But when you try to force an agenda of whatever sorts down somebody else's throat, you're going to get backlash.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's just going to jump on board. And if they are, it's just because they don't have the balls to call anybody out because you know what's going to happen when you get into the public.
Right. Sometimes I don't even push back on people in their idiocy because I'm like, this is not worth it because one, I'm not going to be able to change their minds.
No.
And like, I'm just wasting my breath.
Is it worth the time to even go there?
Just I let them go and
then
I try and do something good like to make up for it.
So I looked it up. I couldn't remember her name and I literally just Googled, best black actresses from the 80s.
Okay.
Ray Dawn Chong was her name.
Okay.
And it was the Tales from the Dark Side, the movie.
That's
the one that it came from.
Good stuff.
And I got to tell you, that movie, it had Debbie Harry, Christian Slater, David Forster.
Oh, the Mummy. Yeah.
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. He was in the Mummy one, too.
What year was this?
This was from...
Is that 80s? No, 90s, probably.
No, this was 80s. This was...
late 80s then, right?
Let me find it where it says it was...
was this post-Cuffs?
It was 1990.
Ah,
Cuffs was great.
I win.
Julianne Moore. There were so many good... Maybe we should rewatch this.
We should.
It's fun. I mean...
Oh, I love it.
I've seen it multiple times,
but,
actually.
I mean, these are all people that... Like, Christian Slater, I think, back in 1990 was huge.
Oh, yeah. It was his time.
He joked about Cuffs, which was a great movie.
Was Steve Buscemi huge back in 1990?
So, no, I wouldn't say huge, but he had been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. But he wasn't like...
Steve Buscemi...
Did he break out in Fargo, or was it before that?
Steve Buscemi broke out because of...
his teeth?
Quentin Tarantino.
Just kidding.
Quentin Tarantino's probably...
Are you teeth shaming?
It would have been... It would have been Reservoir Dogs was his breakout.
Oh, yes, you're
and
right,
then he
you're
put
right.
him as a cameo as Buddy Holly, the Buddy Holly waiter in Pulp Fiction, and then he did Fargo.
But don't forget Armageddon.
But I love Armageddon. Jeremy, I don't think
it's a just
he thinks it's so cheesy. But you're right. There is a lot of cheese that oozes from that movie.
I think Armageddon's a bad movie for the same reason I think Twister's a bad movie.
Oh, no.
See, I
think Twister's one of the worst movies ever made.
You shut your mouth about Bill Paxton.
I love Bill Paxton.
May he rest in peace.
What a great actor and great guy.
Literally, when people say, "What do you think bad dialogue is?" It's when someone says, "What's an F5?" And he goes, "It's like the finger of God," which means it's God doing this, if you think about it. That's the dumbest line in the world.
That is a bad line.
It's so bad that it erases, "I gotta go, we got cows."
There's something that I love about Armageddon. I don't know.
It's just like all the characters
that come together.
A lot of feel goods, especially at the end.
There's also a lot of charisma on screen.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like,
I can overlook it for... I can't overlook how bad Twister is. I can't overlook how painfully paper cutter Titanic is. But I can't overlook...
Oh, you don't like Titanic either?
I think Titanic was the worst Best Picture film of all time.
How many times have you watched it?
Titanic?
Yeah.
Several.
I think it's a guilty pleasure movie for me. It's a well-made movie because it's Jim Cameron.
Yeah.
But it's a very dumb story.
And if you watch it several times, you start to pick out certain things or whatever like that. Like, my mom, she won't watch it again. She's like,
I've only watched it one time. Now, I've seen, like, maybe tidbits here and there, but nothing more than 30 minutes at a time.
Now, mind you, it's a long movie. I'm not saying, like, I watch it, like, once a year, but I think I've actually seen that movie about... 4 or 5 times throughout my years, and if you're like, why would you just put that on? I don't know. It's kind of like that train wreck adventure / love story that just kind of makes it. And I love Leonardo DiCaprio. I love him in general, but Kate Winslet, I love their chemistry.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And they're in another movie too, if you've never saw it, it's called Revolutionary Road. It's a straight up drama.
Way better movie.
Much. But they have great chemistry too, and I love the story and just. Anyways, if you've never seen it before, I think it was 2008, but it's a great movie.
I have not. But
great drama.
Armageddon or something about it. And I love Aerosmith. And Tyler.
Did you guys like Boogie Nights?
I liked it.
Did you like it?
It's good.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I think it's a really good movie.
Did you like
Jackie Brown? I think it's a classic.
Never saw Jackie Brown.
Yeah. How about L.A. Confidential?
I've only seen parts of it. I never really took the time to watch it.
I got one for you. Donnie Brasco. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, that was a great movie.
All movies that came out in 97 and all lost to Titanic for Best Picture.
And Donnie Brasco was way better than Titanic.
Yeah, and to me, there was no love story.
And that's what...
You should
watch L.A. Confidential. By the way, a love story in that. If you've never watched it, I think it's one of the best period pieces movies of all time.
But isn't it surrounding...
The Hollywoodland murders.
Yes. Okay. That's what I thought.
Who's the blonde? That's Kim Basinger, right?
Kim Basinger won an Oscar for it.
Oh, she did.
Yeah. It's got what's his name? He's very fat now. Russell Crowe. It's one of his best roles.
He's
huge.
Is he big now?
He's the Marlon Brando of acting. He's a great actor. But now, remember, we watched that. Road Rage movie that he's in. Russell Crowe looks fake on him. No, it's not. Look him up.
Oh, no.
He looks like... There's a movie that was directed by, I think, the RZA. It's a martial arts movie. Russell Crowe stars in it. It's a very stylized martial arts movie.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe, they said, essentially showed up, drank a 12-pack of beer, and filmed his scenes every day.
What?
Russell Crowe looks like he smells like sweat all the time.
Well, Body of Lies, I saw him in, and I noticed he was getting larger, but he played a role of a desk CIA agent, and then, of course, you got Leo. Oh, Leo.
Yeah.
You got Leo out in the field, but I noticed him getting larger, but I figured it was just for the role. Yeah. But maybe, now, by the way, that was also, 10 years ago, so what's he like now?
By the way, too, speaking of Russell Crowe, a movie that I could watch, I can't think of the name of it, but... I've watched it like 3 times, 4 times.
Okay.
Him and what's the crazy stupid love guy, the hunk?
Ryan Gosling.
Him and Ryan Gosling.
Oh, Nice Guys.
Oh, that's a great movie.
It's hilarious.
So
great movie.
LA Confidential to me is just as good as that, only without the comedy.
Okay.
The Nice Guys is a great fucking movie.
When he falls off that ledge, excuse me, and he's like trying to impress the girl or whatever, and they're at that really expensive house. They're supposed to be like getting intel. And meanwhile, Russell Crowe's getting, you know, doing his thing.
Yeah.
And he's on the ledge, he's drinking, and he's pretending like he's best friend, and he falls off the back of this. And then later when he goes, "You fall off the back of that." He goes, "No, I was doing whatever."
As Russell Crowe.
No, oh, wow. Guys.
Look, this fat picture. Suit. They're comparing him to his Maximus role.
Oh no, he was tight for Maximus.
So, well, he was at once just a ripped. I mean, he was sexiest man alive at one point.
So I'm gonna.
So he's taking the easy road.
So you talked about Russell Crowe drinking like a 12 pack. I'm gonna go back to this whole movies that.
Yeah, this is a good movie.
Talked about Donald Pleasance.
Oh yeah.
Would drink like
who's Lomas bottles, in Halloween?
Oh yeah.
Bottles at a time.
Wine.
Before it takes, or? Yeah.
He did not like the movie. He thought the script was bad. He wasn't.
He didn't want to be there.
He didn't even look drunk or anything.
No. So, you know, the whole, like, he's in the car with the nurse scene?
Yeah.
He was apparently drunk.
They said they were worried about filming that because he was hammered.
I couldn't even tell.
No.
I think now if you watch it, because they showed a clip, you're like, wait a minute, he is tipsy.
I've just seen it so many times. Even the newer version where they had all the other effects in and whatever. The thunder and lightning, they enhanced it.
Because even during like the making of it or as it was coming out, they even have a little clip of him being interviewed. And he doesn't.
So he was the Richard Drivers of Jaws, huh?
Yeah, he kind of bashes it. I wonder if...
Yeah, I bet he was along for the ride the rest of the time.
Yeah,
well, money.
Well, I wonder if after the film came out, because honest to God, the reason Halloween is considered a classic... I mean, Halloween, if it's not the best and most famous Halloween scary movie of all time, or scary movie of all time for that matter,
sure.
It's in the running.
Hell yeah.
But the reason it's so well respected... and so well liked by critics alike and audience is because it is cinematically a pretty fucking solid movie.
Oh yeah, well done.
I wonder if during the making of the second one, if they said, "Hey, you want to come back?" He was like, "You know, I would like to know his comments." Like if he said,
"Yeah,
you know, it turns out it was a better movie than I expected."
I think that's what it ended up being. It better than what he expected.
Yeah, because the critics loved it.
Yeah.
Like even then, the critics loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what else was cool about it: the budget was so small. They rolled the dice, and it was released in one theater in the entire country on initially Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah. No way.
And then
I didn't know that.
By word of mouth, people started calling and said, "Can you bring it to us?"
And then it just started spreading.
Yeah.
They would get, so they'd book more theaters, and they could afford them to print another copy.
Wow.
And they just kept going until it made.
How cool.
Yeah.
That's fun trivia.
They were talking about it with Friday the 13th, and the other one, they were like, "Well, so... look how much money Halloween made," and it was only released in one theater. Mm-hmm. They released it in 1,000 theaters, and they were like, the first time that the guy goes, "Well, the first theater we went to," and it was like, "Well, there's not very many people here."
Uh-huh.
And he goes, "But then the next day there was double the crowd. The next day there was triple the crowd, and then it was like, God. And the critics,
wildfire."
And he goes, "It was complete opposite with Friday the 13th because the critics were saying this is a gore sex fest."
Uh-huh.
He goes, "Which." Turned out people wanted to see that.
Yeah,
in the main screen.
Well, there was probably a lot of men.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the critics don't always get it.
Well,
right, or also, wrong.
And critics aren't always like movie fanatics. You know, it could be
they
like,
talk about that.
Yeah, it could just be like some person that's trying to make an extra buck.
That was in the Monster Squad.
Yeah.
Okay.
The critics weren't actually film critics. It was just somebody. And one real film critic gave Monster Squad a very loving review.
Yes.
Because Monster Squad completely tanked in the theater.
Okay.
And they said it was because of poor marketing campaign, the worst marketing campaign.
Yeah.
And every critic said it was dumb. But one critic who they even interviewed, he goes, "No one else got it."
It's, yeah. And that's the problem.
He even said this is a better kid movie than Goonies was because Goonies was, Goonies felt like it was an adult writing a kid's perspective,
mm-hmm.
and this felt like an actual kid was telling a story because Goonies, they didn't curse.
Yep.
They didn't Monster Squad, they cursed. All of us as 12-year-olds cursed.
Yeah.
You know,
was Monster Squad black and white?
No.
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 I'm going to look it up. I never saw it.
I own a Blu-ray. You take it home and watch it.
Nice. I want to mention, too, just because one of my favorite ones that I always watch, and I might watch it, not tonight, but this week, Scream. I think it's just a great
one. Did you watch the trailer for the new one?
That's what I wanted to say. I didn't even know there was a new one coming, but I do.
I knew last year when they said they were going to make it, and I'm going to tell you, the trailer looked fucking great.
It looks like it's like kind of like gloves off. Like it's not going to be like pokey pokey fun fun. I think it's going to be like...
Like hardcore. We might lose some
characters.
Like Neve Campbell, finally? God dang.
She's back.
I don't know that I've ever said this on the podcast or out loud to anyone.
Oh, gosh.
But I've secretly, not secretly, but in the back of my head, I've always thought the Scream movies are just a bit boring and overrated after the first one. I was like,
after the first Scream.
But I'll be honest with you, as they've been airing on TV through October, those movies are pretty solid front to back.
I think they're still, they're fun. They hold, they hold up.
And I read an article this week about the uniqueness of the Ghostface killer. And like, of all the movies, whether it's Mike Myers, they tried to change it with Jason once, it didn't take, where Freddy, all of these are solo killers. The uniqueness and what makes Ghostface such a good killer, as it's always something else coming at it from their agenda, which makes him, the copycat versions, makes him more dangerous than some of your typical slashers.
That's true, because he doesn't exactly have the same motive or
motivation,
So is Scream the last great slasher film?
Slasher film.
It's certainly...
It's damn close to it.
It's certainly reinvigorated slasher movies
The 90s. It reinvigorated... That, but then, like, did other people try and do slasher films after?
Yeah, I think you saw a relaunch of like Hatchet and some things like that happen.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
Scream definitely, I think...
Saw, but that's just kind of torture porn.
But to me, though, Scream is a very monumental point in cinematic history, not just for scary movies, but it was, and I think... I think it peaked. They had some copycats. Like, it launched I Know What You Did Last Summer and all those.
Which I enjoyed, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
And there's all those movies, all the teenage slasher films. There was, if you remember now, I'm sure if we start racking our brain, we could think of a lot of
them. There are others,
And then, which kind of diluted the waters over the years. Mm-hmm. And then Saw came out. And Saw was a, Saw 1 is a, that's a beautiful movie.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful movie. I haven't watched Spiral. Have you watched it?
No, the newest one, yeah.
I hear it's just Trailer Park awful.
That's what I heard.
Like,
that's why I didn't race to see it.
Well, and don't get me wrong, Chris Rock's one of the five or six best stand-up comics
of all
time. It's
weird that he's in a movie like that, though.
It's not his role.
Odd choice.
Yeah. Not his choice.
So, I feel like the slasher film needs a comeback.
It probably does. And
I say that because that's my favorite genre within the scary movie.
And maybe Scream 5, which is just titled Scream.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, that's all it's titled.
Which confused me, by the way.
Maybe that'll do it.
Neve Campbell's in it.
Yeah,
but there's already been a Scream.
Here's the problem, though.
Well, they're not rebooting, though. It's the story.
Yeah. It's a sequel. Here's the problem with the quote-unquote comeback of the slasher film, or any kind of genre for that matter. There's so many outlets for content now, and so much content released on a daily basis.
True.
I don't think it's gone away. It's just all these films now are finding the direct audience that it needs. You have to be pretty amazing to break through.
Yeah. Oh, you'd have to be insanely good.
Yeah.
There's too much static. Like I said, there's content all over the place. Everything from just indie small stuff, which usually doesn't make the headlines, and then the big blockbusters, which even you see these days aren't making.
They're not.
I think a movie, for instance, like Cabin in the Woods, which I think is a great movie.
It's a fun one.
I think if it were 10 years earlier, it would have been a mega success.
I think so.
But it came out in a time where there's a lot of movies like that are made that you can find your audience. I think Cabin in the Woods is a great movie.
It did well for what it was, for sure. But like you said, maybe a little bit earlier before its time.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I know you enjoy that one a lot.
Oh, I love it. I can watch it all the time.
Oh, Jeremy also loves The Descent.
Oh, The Descent.
Oh, with the ladies that go down.
So I think The Descent was a massive breakthrough success, too.
It was.
The second one demeaned the first one. But the first one, very... Because it... Honest to God, as a guy who's a girl dad now, who has nothing but daughters, The Descent is a bit of feminine empowerment.
Yeah.
It's... plays on claustrophobia.
Yeah.
It plays on monsters.
Yeah.
And it plays on betrayal. It's a good movie.
It's great. And you know, movies, when it comes with the females, and so forth, because my wife was sometimes, she'll be like, yo, I think you just hate women or something like that. I'm like, no, I don't.
You just have to be written well.
Yeah, well, written. Yeah. And I, yeah, yeah. And but the movements of what things are going on these days, like Descent doesn't feel like forced. Like you should, it felt organic. Like these are the women; they're close friends. It made sense.
So
see what's going on these days, and I'm gonna let you rock and roll. Is like these Charlie's Angels and these other ones are redoing that are completely flopping.
Oh, that was
like,
awful.
It's kind of like you see these women; you need to love them. They're amazing, and go
because.
And I'm like, no, I will not.
Mr. Matt F. Basler, who's a friend of the show and has his own podcast. He's not went hard on that topic, but he goes hard on saying if it's written good, it'll always succeed. I'm a person who's a huge comic book fan who has been very critical of forced changes in comics just to answer. For instance, all the talk of making Michael B. Jordan Superman is only because they want a black Superman. It doesn't serve a story.
Right.
Yeah, now, it's conversely, just trying to serve, just a race.
Yeah, a certain populace.
Yes.
But I'll tell you.
Listen, I can get behind, but it feels forced. It feels fake.
Now it does because it's all in our faces.
And at the same token, though, if they make Idris Elba the next James Bond, I don't give a fuck. He's awesome.
The dude's awesome.
Yeah. And he's got, and not that Michael B. Jordan doesn't have the chops. He's a good actor.
Yeah.
The station, the movie, him station agent, or not station agent, Fruitvale Station, he was unbelievable in that.
Was he?
That was nominated for an Oscar. It's a great movie.
He is a good actor.
But I'll tell you another, though, time where, like, for an example of when they, quote-unquote, maybe don't, they force something, but it's not forced. Jane Foster, the Anna Paquin character, or not Anna Paquin, Anna Paquin. Not Anna Paquin, what's her name?
Help me, because I'm
stuck from here. Thor, and although, what's her name?
Natalie Portman?
Natalie Portman. Very pretty Natalie Portman.
Yes.
Her character.
Anna Paquin and Natalie Portman.
Not the same person.
Well, that's why I was stuck for a second. I was like, what?
Natalie Portman, who is plays Jane Foster, who in the comic books, Jason Aaron, a fantastic writer, made her Thor in the comics.
Okay.
And we're going to see that in the next film.
That's why they're doing that. Okay.
In the comics, there's an argument to be made as one of the best year-run long Thors had in a long time. Because Jason Aaron told a really great story on why she did it, why Thor had his fall from grace.
Well, then I hope they do that in the movie, then.
Yeah, well, and I trust it because it's Taika Waititi again, and he's fucking great. He did Ragnarok, and that was the best Thor movie.
That was fun.
I don't like changes. Now, I'll say this again. Yeah. Let's tie it back to scary movies and before we wrap up.
Sure.
I have a question, though, but go ahead.
The Evil Dead remake...
Yeah,
with the girl in charge. That was a great remake.
Oh yeah, I enjoyed it. It all made sense, and it was just kind of
buckets of blood.
Oh, lots of blood, and that's what we were looking for. And if you give us anything else, and you start telling, you know, when it's like, oh, she's a lesbian, or this does, it's like, does this make sense for the story? Like, does this give me anything?
So I'm gonna ask you. God, I can't remember the character's name The Walking Dead.
Okay.
She died a long time ago.
Okay.
She was lesbian.
Yes. Hold on. I'm going through them.
She was a slightly bigger...
Tara.
Was it Tara?
Yes. No, it was... it was Tara. It was...
She got her head cut off by the...
It was the...
No, it was the one that got shot through the head.
Yeah, it was the... it was the...
Denise?
Denise. Like, some of that didn't really... Like, they were forcing...
They were trying
to bring that so it made sense... For like to open the door for the LGBTQ community to try and watch.
See,
the
I don't
show.
Mind it in The Walking Dead the way they did that because it stands to reason there would be lesbians that survive.
But it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
it was, and you know it's a little hard too because now the way it might work for that a show like that is that they're always introducing new characters. So,
yeah, true.
I hate it when they do it in an existing character or an existing story. Now I am going to defend people. I'm going to. Not defend, but I'm going to stick up for what's going on in Superman right now. Everybody in the world is saying Superman's bi. It is not Superman that's bi. It is Jonathan Kent, Superman's son.
Oh.
I don't mind him being bi because it's...
Why do they keep showing Superman and why did they...
Because Superman, Clark Kent, has left the planet to go defend he's going to go look for something in the universe. And he said, while I'm gone, you're Superman and you're in charge.
So he has the same powers and stuff?
Well, he's his son. He's a Kryptonian descent, too.
Well, see,
it doesn't bother him. It's not Superman that's bi.
Well, see, what I read was Superman is now... And I'm like,
Because
what?
Dean Cain in the clickbaity world that we live in. Oh, Dean Cain goes hard against it. Dean Cain just proves every day that he's the worst Superman because he doesn't read Superman.
It was the TV one, right?
Yeah, yes. Lewis and Clark.
TNT
yeah.
or he went hard.
They're not making Superman gay. Superman's son is gay. That's an okay story.
Well, then
for
that's
me.
Fine. Whatever.
That's yeah. an okay story. For
I mean, because he's not really my Superman, but I'm just throwing it yeah. out there. I mean, I'm just yeah. like, do your thing.
And he, by the way, he's not permanently Superman. We've already seen solicitations in Diamond that Clark will be back.
Well, there you go. So but, enjoy this for now, or don't enjoy it.
And he is bi.
Yeah.
So it does. And his best friend is the current Robin.
Yeah.
Who's straight.
Yeah.
But who cares? Just, I mean.
You see, this is the, honestly, this is the world we're in. I mean, and yeah. this is, and it's kind of like we're expected to just jump on board. And you know what? And when we, and when you don't, then you're criticized. Like,
oh, for sure.
Well, I think the problem with what you just said, or the problem in general, is there should, we don't have to, you don't have to jump on board.
No.
You can choose not to read it. You right. can choose to read it. You can choose to wait and see, which is probably the most healthy attitude to take. Let yeah. me wait and see if it's good.
That's fair. That's a fair take.
The problem is we put these things out. We see these clickbaity titles. We see these people. Sometimes, and like we just talked about, sometimes they make a move just to appease a certain crowd.
Right.
And what we all have to do is pick a side in the fight. We have to get past the mentality that we have to pick a side in the fight.
This is true.
Just it's wait and see sides. If it's good.
Yeah.
Going back to what Mr. Matt F. Basler said, wait until you see if the story's good.
Yeah.
If the story's good, I listen to Joe. I listen to Quentin Tarantino on Joe Rogan's podcast, and then also Mark Maron's podcast.
Yeah.
And they said, you can't make some of the movies you made back in the day to day. And yeah. he goes, that's bullshit. Quentin Tarantino goes, that's bullshit.
Really?
He goes, I didn't ask permission to make the movies then, and I wouldn't fucking ask now.
Well, that's a good
he
point.
Goes, like here's the he goes, here's the what you need to know. Make your movie, and if it's fucking good, no matter what stink people will make, just, it won't matter.
Well, yeah. that's true.
If it becomes a classic, because it doesn't matter if it's good.
Yeah. I like that. That's true.
He said never. He goes, there's filmmakers out there that are going to make great
and
movies.
And they'll push the bar.
They'll push the bar. Hey, this.
Yeah, it's a bit close-minded, I suppose, for because I know we said that earlier, Missy, that you couldn't redo certain films. I guess it's just a matter of just taking that chance, which, by the way, many people are afraid to take that kind of chance.
People say you can present it in a different way and yeah. have the same feel, too.
Right.
But people say that it'd be hard to make Superbad this day with high school kids doing that, but that fucking movie we watched that we were just talking about, I think it was like Good Boys.
The Good Boys, I think it was.
That was a pretty fucking risque movie, yeah. and it was made.
Yeah.
I mean,
for their age and doing what they're doing,
just make something good.
Yeah,
that's the key. And I'm not saying I make anything good, but I'm saying if you want to be accepted, whether you get controversial or not, make it good.
Yeah.
Well, some upcoming films I just want to watch as we're closing this up. I want to watch some of those Fear Street ones because they just
Fear Street was good.
Look kind of fun.
Fun. That's the key.
Is it fun?
Go into it thinking fun, and don't go into it thinking great horror.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Get great horror.
And I can appreciate both styles because there is a difference, really.
And Netflix is really trying with. I don't want to demean them, but they're really doing acceptable scary.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Okay.
Almost like Stranger Things format.
Yeah.
So they're making scary stuff, but it's not too scary, so people will watch
it. Not too extreme.
And they're being pretty successful for it. They're pulling it off so far.
I like it. So I'm going to go with that. I did watch Don't Breathe 2 again.
I got to watch.
They changed things up, so it was enjoyable. It was worth a watch.
The only thing I'll say about Don't Breathe, and I don't want you to spoil it, but Bender had the best take on it.
Okay.
He goes,
Don't Breathe or Don't Breathe 2?
Don't Breathe 2.
Okay.
Oh.
Because he enjoyed Don't Breathe 1 also.
Okay.
He said, my issue with the trailer for Don't Breathe 2 is they're making him to be like a vengeful murderer, like he's going to avenge her being abducted.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first one, he's just a bad guy.
But when I was watching 2 last night, I couldn't help but think to myself, well, think about it, though. He didn't ask for those robbers to come into the house. He didn't ask for
them. That's true.
Now, true. We see it from the point of view from the young kid because he's just going along because he likes the girl, right? He's definitely a good kid or whatever, but he's just doing some bad things. But I'm like, nobody asked for you jackasses to come into my house, you know? And true, he gets after it and gets them. But, I mean, they weren't exactly awesome people, you know?
So I guess that's true, too.
Isn't it interesting how you can turn the take? I mean, no different than Negan and all the other things throughout. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of odd why you get used to certain
So
ways.
What other movies have you seen or want to see before we go?
Oh, God. I can't say scary, but I do want to see the new Bond film. I was very, very scared it would be too woke and that they were going to demasculine.
It got a good review.
It did. And I got good reviews from my brother-in-law and sis, and they said it's definitely
worth
it. I guess
the best review, and it's kind of what I expected I've read of it, was once One critic said, "Is it the best of Daniel Craig's Bond films? No, that's still Casino Royale."
Oh yeah.
But they said, "Is it a very good closing to the Daniel Craig films?" Yes.
Sweet.
So that's what you need.
And since it is his last one, I want to see how he finally does take his leave. And then lastly, most obvious, Halloween Kills. I want to go see how this goes down.
And if you want to watch that, just like I told you, it's $5 a month for Peacock, and you get to watch it. And then just cancel your Peacock.
Yeah, we were just trying to decide, do we go to theater to see? Because Halloween's kind of
We wanted to go to theater. Yeah. We kind of talked about going to the theater and seeing it. We just never have time.
Well, I understand that. I'm off half a day on the 29th.
Oh, then we could go do that.
Is that Friday?
That's a Friday. Yeah.
Maybe we could all just, because my brother and sister want to go. Do you guys want to maybe try and join up?
I'm down.
I get off at noon that day, so.
Okay, let me see it. Friday. And I'll be off because, I was doing decorating and stuff, so maybe we could see it that either later afternoon or evening or something, or
what do you think? We may have volleyball that night.
Okay.
Maybe.
Well, let's see.
Maybe.
I'll check your schedule.
Before we wrap up, I do have a question. So we've talked about B and C movies. We've talked about slasher films. What is your take, and I'm going to start with you, Mike, on found footage?
Okay. So I'll speak to this just because I just happened to rewatch Cloverfield the other day. Mm-hmm. Just whatever.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. Yes, it is awesome. And even some of the other ones where they kind of tie the story in, maybe not as best as the first one, but whatever. It's fun. Found footage I can do because I don't mind the shaky cam and it doesn't make me get sick. Mm-hmm. My wife, she can't handle that shit because she just starts watching 5 minutes of it and she's like, I can't do it. I think it's fun. I think it's been overly done as of, now where we are. Yeah. Would I watch another one? If it's good, then yes. And I'll tell you one that I did watch and that is so relevant. Creep.
Oh, Creep was awesome.
Okay, so we just watched that whole series. The whole
Creep and Creep 2. Is there another one?
Or? I think it's just a 2. Okay.
So I did watch them.
We loved Creep.
And it was great. That and that
dude
guy
was
played
creepy.
Yes, he was. And I didn't see where, obviously it was fully going. And even the second one, not as good as the first, I don't think. But it was still something. Mm-hmm. And they even left it kind of open, I think, for a third.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we just
definitely
recently watched, and I don't know if this is found.
It wasn't found footage.
Well, kind of.
They had some of that.
But it was called Superhost, but it had the same kind of feel.
Superhost is on Shudder. It's pretty good.
Familiar. I think I have it. I just need to watch
it. But
it's a VRBO, murderous VRBO person.
So is Cloverfield your favorite found footage?
It was just had a really good feel to it, and it was just.
I can tell you, it's exciting. My favorite found footage. But also because it's J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, Blair Witch is not, and many always go to
but
Blair Witch.
But it kicked
Witch.
It off. It kicked did. Off the mm-hmm. genre.
Would Paranormal Activity be found footage?
It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's found footage is constituted where the. What a found footage movie is the vehicle that which you're watching the movie is told from a perspective that exists in the film, i.e. a security camera or a handheld camera.
So thinking about the top ones that I've seen between Cloverfield, Grave Encounters, which has a couple movies, and that's all found footage, and it's of the horror paranormal style. But I think mine usually gravitates... Oh, boy. That is a tricky one.
So, I'll tell you. I'll take it. The first one for sure, but the modern or more newer found footage that are really good is VHS, the first VHS.
Oh, the
I like
that one. VHS
first VHS
was
is really
scary.
Good. We tried watching the third one, 96, not
the
good.
The second and third one. I think we both shut it off.
I have the most recent one, and I haven't watched it yet, but...
96. It's called VHS 96.
I'm like, what is this?
Oh, no.
So, I'll tell you, one of the reasons found footage... did become so watered down is because it's the cheapest way to make a scary movie.
This is
scary
true.
Movies are already relatively cheap
because
you don't need big name actors, but that's extra cheap.
Mm-hmm.
There was a slew of good ones. My favorite found footage moment didn't even happen is we went to go see Paranormal Activity in the theater when she was pregnant with Hayden.
And I got
10 minutes into it, she had to leave.
Super motion sickness.
Oh. Yeah.
Because I was pregnant.
She was pregnant with Hayden, so we had to leave.
Oh, no.
But I will say this, though. I think the pandemic gave us a new, unique twist on found footage.
Okay.
And we watched it. It was an only an hour-long movie, and I believe it was on... I can't remember.
I don't know what
platform. I can't remember, but it was a found footage movie... Or it was a
Zoom movie.
Okay.
And that's what I think they've kind of turned into. Mm-hmm. And it was a bunch of people that were bored during the pandemic, so they thought they would do a Zoom seance.
Yeah.
Which actually brought the monster and was killing them.
I like it.
And we've seen that in other styles of not just Zoom, but like...
You're right. There are some other ones like Unfriended. Or Unfriended.
Yes. Is
that
what that is?
Yeah, that's kind of the modern look at found footage.
Yes.
I think found footage will always have a home.
It will.
For this reason only. Our ability to move film and communicate is constantly evolving due to technology, so it's always going to have a home.
Agreed.
Will it always be Blair Witch? Maybe not, but Blair Witch wasn't even the best of them. It just happened to be the first.
It happened to be the first.
Okay.
The Paranormal Activity franchise is good.
Paranormal 1.
And it's also got a through-line story that connects them all.
It did. Yeah. They did a good job doing that.
So both Paranormal Activity and Blair Witch are probably my favorite because they both bring something different to the table, and they were both kind of like, well, not kind of, they were both new to the scene.
Uh-huh.
I went into Blair Witch not reading a dang thing, and I mean, shit, I don't even know what year that came out. I know it was, I mean...
It was phones 96.
I was going to say, 90.
I was my freshman year of college.
Nice. Cell phones were not prevalent, so you couldn't readily have shit available at your hands.
Yep.
So I try not to read into it.
Right.
And I went in my early 20s. I was naive, and I went into that movie thinking, this shit is real. And I was scared as shit. And I take that with me because, like, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Like... There's something like after I was just telling the girls this the other day. I watched that with my cousins and my aunt and my little brother. And my aunt lived in an apartment, and she was like, "Okay." After we watched Nightmare on Elm Street, she sent me and my two boy cousins, who one's the same age as me, one's a year older, out to take the trash.
Oh no!
In the apartment complex across the parking lot, and my dumbass cousins left me there, and I was scared. So that's what makes Nightmare on Elm Street like something that sticks with me in Halloween. You know, that's the kind of stuff. Yes, experiences. So, and I just thought Paranormal Activity was just a cool way.
So I'm going to tell you, Paranormal 1 is my main one. And I'm going to tell you also reason why real quick. Short story. We saw the movie in the theater. It really impacted me. It was just scary. Mm-hmm. The slow build-ups. It did a good job. And mind you, at one
great point, final scene.
At one point in the movie, and this is a big pet peeve of me, anyways. When people are talking or making snickering in the theater, you are ruining the experience. Mm-hmm. Okay, and when I get in a movie, I like getting into it.
That's a hot take. Mike Schilling is against people talking in theaters.
Don't.
We just watched the movie.
Now listen, this isn't the theater. This isn't the theater. This is purposeful.
You didn't have to pay to watch this movie,
right? Well, this is true. Maybe I owe you a dollar or two. I don't know. But I'll tell you, there was these people sitting in front of us, and they were snickering at certain points, and I could tell it was about that time. I knew something was coming up. I literally lean forward, and all my breath, I go, shh. I mean, just like a full out, like 10-second shush, and all of a sudden they just kind of adjusted and didn't hear a damn thing. And you know what? I'm like, it serves you right.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't ruin my movie. And anyway, so furthermore, about a day later after we saw the movie, sleeping in bed with the wife, whatever, we were asleep,
your covers were snatched off.
I woke up screaming. I mean, I was screaming in my sleep. This has never happened to me before. I literally. Yeah, it happened a couple times. And I was like, that movie literally freaked me out. Well, it was great.
I tell you this, the only found footage story I'm going to tell is my friend. The reason I know it was 96 for Blair Witch is because I was in college. It was my roommate, Kevin. It was also, if you remember, Blair Witch had a website. And
yes.
It was the first time I had ever went to a website.
And for a movie and everything
for
else?
For anything.
Anything. Okay.
Yeah, because the internet was fairly to be new. I'm fairly certain my college had just got it, you know? And so we went to the movie and watched it. We come out. Kevin, my roommate, owns his own martial arts studio. He's a SWAT team member. Manly
sweet
dude.
Nice.
Was pale white and scared to death. And he goes, dude. And he goes, how are you? I go, dude, are you okay? He goes, how are you okay? I go, what do you mean? He goes, And I go, it was not real, dude. The actors and actresses have been in commercials. He goes, what?
Yeah.
He didn't know it was fake.
That's
and
great.
And he lost his shit. That's he almost great threw up in the theater. He was so scared.
Oh my gosh.
Which if that is, I mean, if that was real, that is the scariest thing ever made.
That's pretty cool.
So before we get off, we're going to sign up because props to us, this is 3 hours right now.
Wow. Look at that.
I wanted to... point out one thing, and it's my way of tying it all back. I like your Dead Nightmare water thermos over there.
I saw that when you walked in. It's awesome.
Yeah, I did that off, is it Shutterfly or whatever like that?
Oh, yeah,
Reasonably priced, but I did a bunch of stuff. I even created some magnets, which...
Well, I've got some up here.
Okay, I gave you some. I need to give you some more. But anyways, it was cool. I'm going to try and do it for future things, too.
That's
but
awesome.
I love that thing.
Awesome. We did talk earlier, but for those that don't know how to find Mike Schilling, you can go to deadnightmare.com.
Yep, that's fine.
You can search for Dead Nightmare on YouTube.
Or Z-Man Show, Z-M-A-M.
Z-Man Show, which I'm going to talk to you about wrap up.
Oh, no. Well, I always do that because they're like, oh, the Z-Man. They're kind of like Zombie
Z-Man.
Man. But it's Zombies, Movies, and More.
Yeah.
It was the M in the
Yeah. Well, see, I had to do and more because I don't just love just talking one. I like talking topics and things. Yeah. So.
And you've done a good job with there's a very good unaired episode about Mortal Kombat because there were some technical difficulties on it.
We're going to hit on a new one in the future.
We're
going to
find one.
But it might be just me and you because Adam's taking a break. So
yeah. And in that one, you also heard we love Mike Schilling on our show, but it was the closest our friendship ever came to ending for his hatred of King Kong versus God's. Or but yeah, now I have a new reason to not like him. He's never seen Monster Squad. Yeah. But anyway,
I don't know who you are anymore, Mike.
Deadnightmare.com,
Z-M-A-M on YouTube. Look for things coming out. How often are you putting out Z-Man content?
I mean, I do the Walking Dead stuff weekly. I've been trying to get these trivia videos at least done every couple weeks, but I've been lacking over the last month because of the new job.
Yeah, but if you're doing Walking Dead stuff weekly, you're okay.
I obviously got stuff out there, and then obviously I have the shorts that are coming. So I think 2022 is going to be a good year for just actual short content. And as for the trivia videos, those are pretty fun. You might want to check them out. I've done Predator, Ghostbusters, Dawn of the 2004, 78.
I saw the early ones.
Yeah. The Dawn of the Dead 2004 actually took off. It actually has about 30,000.
That's a Zack Snyder one, right?
Wow.
That's one of the greatest zombie movies ever made, I think.
So I thought it was quite fun.
That on here.
But yeah, so if you don't like just going through and reading the facts on IMDb and you just want to hear the top ones, I'd say come check out my stuff.
I think you also, for an old movie fan, like a cheesy 80 movie fan, you should check out the Confused Breakfast podcast. I think you'll like that.
Confused Breakfast.
It's pretty famous. They take a movie and they break down and they do all the trivia, all the everything, and they talk about the movie.
Well, that sounds like
fun. They do this thing that's fun. They do their initial rating from that they remember as a kid, and then they do their post rating after watching it as an adult.
That's cool. I like that.
I don't think we have anything else. I think we're going to wrap it up, especially after I break this up. It's still two good long episodes.
Yeah.
We appreciate you every year coming on.
So much fun.
Always come on before. Hopefully we go see Halloween Kills here in the next week or so.
That could be cool.
And I got two things to talk to you about when we're done. But there is no Tom. Thank God there's no Tom and John and Jay.
I don't think they could have worked it out.
They would have brought us down.
This was the right. This is the mix.
I think we've made the right.
And I would do this again with the style. I like this.
I like this. This is fun.
Look, there's two more weekends before Halloween.
I mean, you never know. But
hey, speaking of, just so you know, this is not coming out this week.
Okay.
I'm recording an episode at Tuesday at Exit 6
for
their 10th anniversary, me and Jay. And then... So this will come out next week, which will be 1 week closer to Halloween.
Just send me the text, and I'll make sure and I'll spread it out.
So the closer it gets to Halloween, the better, and made me take next week off. So that's good.
I know. Oh God. So thank you for that.
So like I said, all those other deadbeats aren't here, so that just leaves Missy to say
bye.
And Mike, say bye to everybody.
Later, peeps, and thanks.
You're welcome, my man. All right.